There's just something about the sound of children laughing, and they laugh loudest when they're at play. It's fair to say that play looks a little different these days. Our parents would chuck us out of the house straight after school and tell us not to come home until tea time. When we'd reluctantly reappear, more often than not covered in mud, scrapes and the odd bluing bruise, but full of tales of adventure and bearing the biggest of grins on our tiny faces. It seems like a lot of children's faces nowadays are too often lit up by the light of digital devices, and some parents struggle to get their children out of the door at all. Well, there's at least one organisation on the island looking to change that. Fastamai, good evening. I'm Christy DeHaven, and in this episode of Island Life, we're taking a look at the state of play. If you're a regular listener to Manx Radio, especially in the afternoons, you might have noticed that our Charity of the Week feature has returned, with the fantastic support of Kell Properties. Each weekday, between 1 and 3pm, we're hearing about some of the incredible work carried out on island by the myriad community groups, volunteers and charity organisations, big and small, that keep our island the thriving, supported, safe and fun place that it is. This time last week, the world was celebrating International Youth Day, a perfect time to look at the work of our own youth-supporting charity, Isle of Play. I spoke with the award-winning director of the charity to get his perspective.
The Charity of the Week.
Chris Gregory, it's been great hearing about the charity again. And one of the reasons I invited you up this week is because I discovered that there is an awareness day this week, International Youth Day.
What? Is
I
there?
Know. There
Unbelievable.
Is. I know.
It's new to me.
So I thought, well, let's speak to one of the charities doing fabulous things for kids on the Isle of Man. And, you know, we've heard little bits about what you're doing. I want to expand on some of the stuff that we've heard about so far. You mentioned that, you know, your fabulous team go through a certain amount of training or have a certain amount of training in their field. I love this because I remember years ago when we first started talking about Isle of Play and you're talking about, you know, sort of your background in play as a subject. Yeah. As such, I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? So we've just had a student with us who's she's just gone back to Leeds, which is where she's studying play and play work for her degree, which is wonderful. So big shout out there to Keely Shimmin, who we're hoping will come back from university, an enlightened individual in the world of play and play work, and we can poach her and have her working with us. So yeah, it is a very real subject that you can go and study at university, up to doctorate level as well, which is...
What do you learn then? What are the sort of things that you learned, for instance, about play?
So it's about sort of the fundamentals of what so play makes us human. I think this is something that we often don't realise. You know, we get so caught up in our everyday lives and we restrict opportunities for children to play that actually we forget that actually the best parts of all our lives are the bits where we're playing, you know, where we're having a conversation and we're laughing and we're joining in with each other. That is play. For children, it's a bit more obvious. You know, we see it in children, you know, running around playing games of tag with big smiles on their faces, creating imaginary worlds, etc. And they're all the building blocks of what sort of make us human, you know. We often look at childhood as being a place where we need to fill these test tubes up with a certain amount of literacy skills, etc., etc., etc. That isn't what makes us great as a species. What makes us great as a species is the fact that we play, that we're creative, that we have this endeavour and an ability to want to explore the world and the people around us. And that's what makes us human, and that only happens through playing. So when you go and study play, you're learning all about that. You're learning about the psychology, the philosophy. You're learning about how play takes, what structure play takes place in. So if you watch children playing, there's something called the play cycle, which will start with a play cue where a child might see another child, and it's as simple as easiest way. When I'm giving a lecture on this, I'd break it down into going, "Hey, Chrissy, do you want to play?" And Chrissy says,
"Yeah."
And then I say, "Okay." So I put my hand out, and we end up having a thumb war. So the play cue is me saying, "Do you want to play?" You return it with a play return, saying, "Yeah, of course I want to play." And then we start playing, and we start having a thumb war or whatever it is. And then other kids see us, and they go, "Oh, I want to play a thumb war," and they get in line, or they start playing with each other. And all of a sudden, what started as just like this idea of I want to play comes into a whole frame of other children taking part. And the best thing a child can have to play with is another child. Mm-hmm. And so you learn all about this. You learn about the fundamentals of what makes play so special and why we need it in our lives.
And obviously, Isle of Play sort of encourages play in kids. But is it not an innate thing then in a child to want to play and to just start playing?
Yeah, you know, when I first came to the island, a lady said to me, "Oh, the children on the Isle of Man, they don't know how to play." And that is the most insane thing you could possibly imagine. Yeah, we're talking about millions of years of evolution have made us what we are. I would say that as a species, we seem to be the only species on the face of the planet, and every mammalian, well, every species on the planet plays to a certain degree. We're the only species that seem to want to stop play. And we want to make it rigor and give it outcomes and purpose all the time. And when you start to do that, it stops being play.
Not fun anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So it is fascinating that we do this and why we do it. Now that is an interesting question that I've yet to come to the conclusion.
Of why we play.
Why we play. Yeah, I mean, it's why do the birds sing? We don't know.
Joy!
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
of it's learning as well, though, isn't it?
Well, there's so much learning that happens. So as a child, we're born into this world, and as parents, we will put boundaries and borders around that child to protect the newborn infant. But after a certain period of time, both the child and parents start to play, and that's how they become social. The child becomes socially competent with the child. If you put an electroencephalogram on a child and a mother, which is one of those brain reading machines, and you watch the mother babbling to child, going, "Hello," and the child starts babbling back, something beautiful happens. The brain patterns of both mother and child align perfectly in a symmetry with each other. Now, that doesn't happen in any other field apart from when children and adults play together. And then as the child starts to grow, they start to want to explore, and then you get to that terrible twos, and you go, "Oh my God, what happened to my beautiful baby?" And they start bringing chaos into the world, and it's by play allows children to play with the chaos of the world, to understand it, to bring a sense of order to their world. And so that's why we play, I think, is part of the reasons why we play, is to understand the world around us and to find joy in it.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love that about the mother and the child together.
Yeah,
that's
fascinating,
incredible.
Isn't it?
And it just shows how important it is for parents to try and continue that element of play. I mean, presumably that's something you'd also talk to parents about.
Yeah, when we get the opportunity to, for sure. There's definitely, and I'm sorry to all those parents that might be listening to this and may feel like I'm judging you, but there's a real issue at the moment, I think, with parents putting headphones on, pushing their prams and not talking to their children while they're going around, listening to a podcast and escaping sort of the world around them. You know, that's a really important time for a parent and child to interact with each other and to play through language and to point things out. I remember seeing a grandmother not too long ago who was pushing grandchild around in the pram going, "Oh, look, a cow, a moo cow, a moo." This kind of inane babbling that only you can do when you're talking to a child. Otherwise, everyone would look at you like you are completely insane. But that's so important to children. And, you know, talk to any of the reception children, reception teachers, and they'll tell you there's a real language delay at the moment with children. And that is because, you know, we're walking around with headphones on, our eyes fixed to screens as adults, and those children aren't having those interactions that they really need with their parents.
I mean, this is fascinating because normally we would be criticising the children for being on screens and listening to headphones, but actually it's the adults that need to think about it too.
Without a doubt. I mean, we know that phones are incredibly addictive, but we are missing out on the real life opportunities that are around us. You know, there's I forget the name of the psychologist, but certainly Aldous Huxley said something once, that knowledge can be passed down, but understanding has to be experienced. And we're caught up in a world at the moment where we're not experiencing. We're literally just fixed to screens, just soaking in mindless information that's not valid to our existence.
So when the kids come to you then, whether you're doing the playing out or whether they're coming to Leicester's Yard, are screens banned then?
No, we don't ban them at all. But they don't tend to play with them. They want to play with each other and play in the environment. So the big issue, or not the issue, but the big part that we're seeing is it's not that children don't want to play. Children do want to play, but they're not being given permission to play. So if they're at home, they're not being allowed to play out on the streets because the parents don't give them permission to play on the streets. Well, why aren't the parents giving them permission to play on the streets? Well, partly because society is not giving them permission to play on the streets because streets are meant for cars now. They're not meant for children. And that's not been the way that it's always been. Children were playing on the streets before there were cars. They were playing on the streets when there were horse and carts going along. But now we just see it as a safety issue, so we're not allowed to let children go outside and play. And I think that's a real shame. I've just come back from Germany last week, and the streets, every residential street pretty much had a sign painted on the floor that showed that it was shared space, that cars, adults, pedestrians and children play here. And I think that's such a wonderful thing that we should be doing, that we should be saying, actually, you know, on our residential streets, not our main roads, we're not crazy, that children should be allowed to go outside and play on there, and that drivers should be aware of that.
There was something really beautiful, wasn't there, in lockdown, where kids were going out with chalk and chalking up, you know, sort of hopscotch and things on the, and snakes and ladders on the street so they could play in the street.
Yeah, sure. And I remember living in a top floor apartment, as I did, and hearing the sound of children being outside playing and adults going outside with their children playing. I remember some residents playing cricket outside and stuff. And you know what? Since lockdown, that's not happened.
Mm.
And isn't that a real shame? We're missing something in our communities when we're not seeing. I think as an indicator species, is it skylarks are a sign of a really healthy ecosystem if you've got skylarks in the fields. I think that as an indicator species, the sign of a healthy community is when you've got children outside playing.
And also, to be fair, adults should be playing as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah, we should be, yeah.
I mean, you're clearly a big kid, Chris.
Well, quite literally. It's hard, actually, because obviously when I say that, I say adults should play, people will always make the assumption, well, yeah, that's because you do it as a job. Yeah, I do it as a job, but, you know, I try and fill my time with the things that I enjoy doing. And, you know, it's not about running around playing games with tag as an adult. It's about finding the time to do the things that you enjoy doing, reading and writing, talking, sharing experiences, listening to music, going out to concerts and things. They're all valid forms of play. They're done for no reward other than the experience of it itself. And you know, we should try and find time for doing that.
Yeah, well said, well said. So one of the places where this can happen is Leicester's Yard. And we heard that you are going to be expanding Leicester's Yard. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we're based in a paddock in Balafton Park, which is part of the Hills Ward area of Douglas near Saddlestone and Anakin and Pulrose. Now it's been such a successful project there, and it's very much a place of its own kind. You know, it's largely made up of pallets that children have turned into dens and climbing structures, etc. But we're looking to move into the paddock next door as well, not to transform that paddock into the same sort of environment. We want to keep it as a nice green open space as well, but we're looking to create a larger indoor venue. Our current shed that we reside in is leaky, mouldy, and not fit for purpose anymore. So we're looking to expand, so we have a bigger indoor area, a full working kitchen, and a therapy room as well. So it means that we can got a quieter space to do some sort of more relaxing elements of play that might help children who just need something a little bit more chill in their lives. It's not always high octane, you know. Sometimes we just need a bit of time away to explore ourselves as well as around hundreds of other children.
Hi, my name's Kieran Morris. I've been doing work experience at Isle of Play since the start of 2024. Started coming to Isle of Play at the when it first started. I've been here since the second week, and it means a lot to me. They've gave me so much great opportunities, and I'm very, very thankful for what they've done for me. It is Thursday morning, and this morning we had Tiny She. As you can tell, the weather wasn't that great, but the kids had fun. It was a good session. They all had pancakes. I pushed them all on the swings again, but yeah, it was a good session.
So what is the sort of timeline for this, do you know?
Well, the lottery have very kindly given us £25,000. The costs for this seem to be escalating as we go, so we're looking at ways we can get the building as quickly as possible for as cheap as possible, because we're not a flush charity. We don't have an awful lot of financial resources, so yeah, we'd like to see it done by early next year, have it all completed.
And for those who haven't experienced Leicester's Yard yet and they're thinking their kids might really enjoy it, how do they actually get there and what do they do? How do they be part of it?
Well, it's just a question of rocking up on the day. We, after school, we have a no parents rule, so children are allowed to come and go as they feel. We ask parents to just to create an online form, which is available via our website, isleofplay.im, and then the kids then have free rein. Now, it's an interesting environment because it's the children's environment that's not dictated by adults what goes on there. So children play in lots of different ways, like physically, emotionally, and also verbally. So sometimes children play with language, and some parents do have an issue with some of the language that children use, but children are, they've got to learn sort of all these words. They're in our society. And so for some parents, they do find it a bit of an off-putting place after school. But if you're looking for something a little bit more of an easier introduction into that environment, then we run sessions throughout the school holidays there every Monday afternoon. So if you want to come down with the child as well on those days, then you can come and experience it and see what it's all about.
You're listening to a conversation recorded last week for our Charity of the Week feature with Chris Gregory, Director of Isle of Play. Have you got Playing Out as well? Tell us about Playing Out over the summer holidays.
Yes, we've got Playing Out. So Playing Out is our only sponsored scheme that we do. So it's a mobile play scheme, goes around the island. Again, our schedule is available via Facebook. We update it every evening to say where we're going to be tomorrow, but there's a whole list out there available on the website and on Facebook as well. So yeah, so today we're in Moraine and Jerby, which we're in Jerby every Wednesday afternoon. We've got a van full of exciting goodies, bits and pieces, and yeah, it's an environment again that the children make their own, ride bikes, make rope swings. Just we've got a workbench in there with some hammers and nails and such as well, so the kids can make whatever they want to make and take them home. Yeah, it's a great setting, and we must have seen a couple of thousand children already, I think, this holiday.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, it's great. I think the only sad thing is that the parks and glens that we go to with this project, they're devoid of people until we get there, and then like hundreds of people come out and they have a great time and then everyone goes off again. And I think it's such a shame that, you know, we've got these beautiful resources at our fingertips
and it's not their first thought.
Yeah, and we're just not there already in the first place. Mm. I think it's a real shame, but it is great to see so many children out there with us.
Oh, it might encourage them to go back again, fingers crossed. Yeah,
hopefully so.
We did hear, though, you did mention the fact that some of the facilities in the parks and things on the island are maybe not quite up to scratch. I mean, what would you like to see over here?
I think it's a hard balance to make because there's the health and safety side of things. So, again, just come back from Germany and we've just looked at some of the playgrounds over there. They're full of lots of loose parts still. So by loose parts, I mean they've got, like, big sand pits. Now, I know we've got beaches, but there's not that many children on beaches, and quite often we take children to parks to play. And talk about National Youth Day as well. So walking through one of the parks in Germany, there were so many young people there. We're not just talking about children, we're talking about teenagers in groups, playing football, playing volleyball was really big over there, and they were hanging around. They weren't creating trouble, which I think is the big issue that people assume, that when you see a group of children or young people hanging out together, they're up to no good. And it was littered with like loads of young people playing, and that was wonderful to see because they are given the permission to be in those spaces and to play, and they put the facilities in, be it volleyball nets, be it I don't know what the game is where it's like a big bouncy thing where you hit a ball into it and bounces up and everyone gathers around. I don't know what it's called. Badminton nets outside. Their parks, their play equipment had lots of moving parts, like the sand pits and gravel areas. They use gravel as a safety surface in Germany as well, something that you would never see over here. We always spend a lot of money on wet pour. So their parks are much more free for people to go into and access by people. And there's toilets available in them as well, which is always handy.
Yeah.
24/7. So, yeah. I don't think it takes a great deal of cost to improve parks, but I think a bit more considered approach to it will bring more young people to them. And they are the places where young people perhaps should be rather than locked away inside on computers.
So you would say that it is more that the environments are available for the young people to play in and to go to and to enjoy. That's more the issue than rather the youth themselves. So, for instance, in Germany, it's not just because, well, there are more sporty nation or they're a more outdoorsy nation. I mean, if we did have these sort of facilities over here, do you think the young people would make use of them?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a gradual process. You know, we may find that we invest in something and something gets damaged, and it's almost apocalyptic over here if something bad happens, or maybe someone gets injured or the equipment gets damaged. There's always a chance that will happen, but I think it takes time for culture to change. And I think that we've come from a background on the Isle of Man where children were outside and they were playing all the time, and we reap the benefits of generations of that over here. And now we're doom scrolling and labeling children as being incomplete adults who are up to no good, and we can't provide things, nice things, because nice things get destroyed. There may be a minority of people that do that, but I think we've got to keep providing opportunities consistently so that actually we can break that trend and have children actually access these spaces and enjoy them, because they're the places where they should be enjoyed.
It's crazy, isn't it? You think we're talking to you because you are the charity I Love Play, encouraging play amongst kids. And in a way, I'm sure you'd probably rather you weren't necessary, that kids were just going out there and doing this regardless.
Well, it's ludicrous, isn't it? And I would, you know, the main objective for me as an individual is to do myself out of a job. I don't want to have to sit here. I want to be able to sit back on my rocking chair somewhere, looking out a window and seeing children outside, enjoying the best opportunities that they can. And it just feels like every day, sometimes it feels like we're getting further and further away from it. Maybe you've caught me on a bad day, Chrissy. I don't know. I just want children to have the best opportunities possible. And I think as an island, we're only going to reap the benefits of that. If we're going to see children outside playing today, we're going to see happier adults tomorrow. And that's got to be good for our society.
And in theory, it should be easier on a smaller space.
Well, why, you know, look at the environment that we've got. Why aren't we leading the world in this? You know, we want to have a happy nation. Let's create a happy nation. It's not going to cost us billions of pounds to do it. It just takes a little bit of consideration, a little bit of work that changes policy. You know, the opportunities are there for us to do something magnificent here. Let's make it happen.
Well, what can parents do then? We talked a little bit about parents. If there's a parent listening who has a child or children that do seem to be very much obsessed with their screens and their games and, you know, sort of never seem to want to go outside, how can they approach that child and sort of encourage them or entice them or tempt them to go out and play with their mates?
Well, it probably starts by looking at your own behaviours, doesn't it? You know, if we, you know, we can look at the world and say we need to change people, but we need to start by working on ourselves. So if our children are constantly on devices, but what are we always doing? Are we always on devices? There's possibly a high chance that is the case. So let's look at ourselves, let's look at our own screen time. Then let's start looking at what our children are doing. Who's given them these devices? Well, probably the adults in the first place. Can you limit their screen time? Can you encourage them to go outside? Quite often, one of the biggest preventers of children going outside is that there's no other children going outside. So if you've got friends or who also have children the same age as you, well, why not create a little group together? And I know there is a movement of people over here who are doing this. You know, let's limit our screen time. Let's go outside. Let's create opportunities for our children to go outside and play. It shouldn't be regulated. You shouldn't be having to schedule it into your day, but maybe that's a starting point. Maybe setting some tasks that encourage independence in your children first. So maybe let them go to the shop on their own so that you can see that they actually are trustworthy of doing it. Question the fears that prevent you from letting your children go outside. Is it the traffic? Well, what can I do as a parent? Do I live on a busy road or do I live in a cul-de-sac? You know, a cul-de-sac should be a place where children can go outside and play. Are you worried about stranger danger? We've got to look at the stats here and just, you know, put a sensible head on this. You know, what are our fears? What can we do about it? Because nothing should be insurmountable. And it's to the... Yeah, and again, I guess that is the other thing, isn't it? Sorry, shooting from the hip here and neurons firing as they go, is that we're worried about stranger danger, but we give them access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are much more dangerous pursuits out there than allowing your children to go outside and play.
And especially when they've got the likes of Leicester's Yard, where it's a safe environment as well, so...
Yeah, and We would love to see more places like Leicester's Yard Adventure Playground. We'd love to see them in like Onchan, Castletown, other areas around the Isle of Man, maybe a couple in Douglas, you know, Ramsey. They are brilliant places that are... It's great that those children come to us and those parents have faith that those children can navigate their way to us in the first place, be let loose with hammers, nails and saws, and other children and their culture that they bring with them and all the mischief that they bring, and then make their own way back afterwards. You know, it is reassuring that those parents do still exist. But maybe it takes a Leicester's Yard project in your area for that to happen. But, you know, we'd love to help support to make that happen. But again, it does take some money and investment and time and the right staff to facilitate those. But yeah, we're happy to try and build more of them.
Well, all that said, how do people get in touch with you and how do they support you?
Get in touch. I guess the easiest way is either send us a message on Facebook, send us an email, info@isleofplay.im, send us a message via Facebook or any of our other social media platforms. Or if you want to pick up the phone, you can dial 306-910 and I will answer the phone myself. Please do get in touch. We want to help.
Excellent. Chris Gregory, I challenge you to a thumb war.
Bring it on.
Grateful thanks to Chris Gregory, Chief Playmate and award-winning director of Isle of Play, the charity of the week, supported by Kell Properties. Our 1-3 charity this week is the wonderful Joey Dunlop Foundation. Tune in each weekday after 1 p.m. to hear more about the fabulous work they do. And if you know of an Isle of Man-based charity that doesn't get the exposure you think they deserve and need, please drop us an email. All the numbers, 123@manxradio.com. I'm Christy DeHaven. Thanks for listening.